Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering OneNew or Transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code WWC295 at checkout. Just remember that WWC is watch what crap ins, and $2.95 is the price of the domain, $2.95. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we all love so much. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. You can find me at BsideBlog on Twitter and on Instagram and on Vine even, or even Pinterest. And joining me as always is my plucky and ever-loving co-host, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Well, hello, Ben.
Why don't you tell the kind people where they can find you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Ronnie. You can find me on social media and Twitter at Ronnie Karam or at Trash Tweet TV, which is TrashTalkTV.com's recap feed. Or you can come over and find me on Vine at Ronnie Karam or Instagram at Ronnie Karam or Trash Talk TV. Trash Talk TV also has a lovely site on Tumblr where we post the newly pronounced GIFs of Housewives. And that's Trash Talk TV recaps on Tumblr.
Why are GIFs called GIFs now? I always thought they were called GIFs.
I know, because the guy who made GIFs, which I can't even believe I called them GIFs because I feel like I'm giving in to the man.
Mm-hmm.
But he came out and said that it's pronounced GIFs. Now, I don't know how that makes sense since it stands for graphic interface faces or whatever. But that's some bullshit. And I think he's just trying to fuck with people and see if he can make everybody sound stupid, which is totally working. Because if you say GIF now, everybody's like, isn't it pronounced Jeff?
That's so annoying. That's like really a very annoying thing to do. You know, like pop culture decided that it's going to be called GIF and that's the way it is. By the way, everyone, please like us on Facebook where you can, you won't see any GIFs there, but you'll see lots of other stuff. Facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. It is such a fun Facebook page and we just hit 2,500 followers.
Yay!
Which is really cool. I'm going to say 2,500. It sounds like more. Which we're so happy that everyone joined. I was going to list off new people who liked it, but I don't have that list ready. Everyone just please keep on contributing. It's, if you're not liking the Facebook page, you actually really are missing out. You're missing out on tons of cool links. You're missing out on really funny commentary, a lot of discussions. And it just is a great way to kind of enhance your Watch What Crappens experience. Take it to the next level. You know?
It really is. The conversations in there are so hilarious. And thank you to everybody who has been there for, I mean, we're on like 131 now. So that's a lot of hours of this shit.
Yeah.
And some of you guys have listened to every single minute of it.
Yeah.
And I can't believe you would do that to yourself. But thank you for doing it. It's like seeing old friends.
I know. And I want to give a special shout out to one of our listeners, Emmy Burbano, who used to list her favorite quotes of the episode, but now she's realized that she has many more productive things to do with her life, but she's going down to the World Cup, and we may never see her again. So hopefully she comes back and doesn't get stuck in a favela. So good luck, Emmy.
Yeah, be ready to walk, because those trains ain't running.
One of the great parts about this Facebook page is that people post all these great links, as I just mentioned, and that's how we get gossip. So there are two things that I want to talk about. One is not really a very interesting story, but I loved that there were at least two people who posted it on our wall, and then one person emailed it directly. The bridge in London, in Paris, the Lover's Lock Bridge, where people put little padlocks on and throw the key to the Seine, part of it collapsed. And I love that two different people posted on our wall and were like, Kyle Richards strikes again.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, Fat Kyle put her fat lock on that thing and the bridge fell down.
I just love that this, like, random sort of, like, this random moment from the previous season people have, no pun intended, latched onto it. And like the first thing they think of is, oh, well, Kyle Richards. And you know what? They're absolutely right. She totally ruined it.
Yeah, well, that lock had a lot of weight put on it. You know, that whole like, oh, look, my husband isn't sleeping with tranny hostesses from restaurants. He's in love with me. It was like too much pressure and it just crashed the whole bridge.
Well, she's probably going to take credit for it, by the way. She's going to say, well, you know, before Mauricio and I, only a few people really put locks on that bridge. And then we did it. And, you know, we just really started a trend. You can see, I'm also imagining Kim Richards going over there with like a wire hanger, being like, I can't get the lock to close on the bridge.
Kim will be like, I love putting locks into the river where the bridge used to be. This is how my love for Kingsley is so deep as this bridge in the water. Kingsley!
Hey! Hey, this bendy straw doesn't lock.
I'm putting a trash tie around this fence so I can remember how love can be untied. It's so fleeting.
Hey, this pine cone doesn't have a combination lock on it. I can't put it on the bridge.
Hey, Julia Roberts, I'm putting a pine cone on this bridge to remind us of when we worked together in Pretty Woman.
So now,
hey, to watch the Tonys, I want so many things.
Especially for turtles. I don't like turtles. I never say I like turtles. I love turtles.
Speaking of awkward drag queens at the Tonys, you guys, I know probably maybe only 10%, and Ben definitely doesn't watch the Tonys. And I did not watch all the Tonys yet because I'm saving them. But just to make sure that the video worked, I pressed play and saw a clip of that Doogie Howser kid playing Hedwig and the Angry Inch. You guys, stop with this guy. Stop it. It's not okay. That was the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life.
Don't ever subject
me to that again. Please.
I was already passed out by the time the Tonys were airing because I did something even gayer than watching the Tonys, which is that I actually went to Gay Pride. Actually, this is sort of hilarious. This can be tied into Bravo slightly. Believe it or not, I marched in the Gay Pride Parade this year.
You did?
Which is pretty much, like, not what I'm all about. But my friend, she emailed me, and she's like, hey, I'm with NBCU. Do you want to walk with us? And I thought, you know what? Why the hell not? There's no harm. I'll just walk, you know? I get there, and she's like, oh, by the way, we're dancing. And I'm like, what? We're dancing? And this guy who works for NBCU has the gayest choreography you can even imagine. It was like drag queen voguing. Like, it was like the sort of thing that Miss Lawrence would have been like, damn.
Like, yeah, it's like the Blonde Ambition tour.
Yeah, it was honestly mortifying. And so then I finally got out of the dancing. And they're like, well, you can hold up a sign. I'm like, great. And then they put me at the very, very, very front of the NBCU group. So I was like, they had like a banner that was like, NBC welcomes your pride. And I was like next to it with a sign as if I were like an ambassador for NBC, Comcast, whatever. I don't even work there. I just make fun of the people on their shows.
That's awesome. I wish I could have seen it. I didn't go till nighttime at the end of Gay Pride, like at 6:30, and people were so dry. It was like gay zombies just.
That was me. Well,
falling down, barf all over their front. I mean, it was embarrassing, and it makes me very glad to be a shut-in.
Well, you know what? One of the reasons why I'm never going to march in the parade again, unless I get like put on a float with like really hot guys or something, is because while I'm standing there waiting for our group to go and then having to march all the way down this parade route, I'm not getting to drink. And I'm like, damn it, I want to drink. So, you know, by the time I was done with it at like 2:30, I was catching up for lost time. And I think I overdid it because by like 7:30 p.m., I was like at Five Guys, drunk, and I was like barely able to see straight. But I was with our friend Lisa Timmons, and I saw Madison Hildebrand, to bring it back to Bravo, walking down the street.
Well, have I taught you nothing? I carried around a flask of 100 proof Smirnoff.
I know. I should have.
I was shit-faced in 2 minutes.
I heard, by the way, again, another Bravo tie-in, that they were filming at Pump, which is Lisa Vanderpump's new gay club. They were filming, and that there was a fight between like Stassi and Kristen, and something like that. I don't know. This is sort of like the rumors that came through the gay mill over the course of the day as filtered through my drunk perceptions.
Here's what I heard from gay people. That's all I saw.
Okay,
let's start talking about
raps. Wait, I'm sorry. There is one piece of gossip I have to share. This is actually my favorite piece of gossip from the week, perhaps the month, okay?
Okay.
This comes to us, among other people, from Robert Pesta. There is a rumor that Jay-Z is cheating on Beyonce.
And the room,
and guess which Bravo star he may be cheating with?
George from Real Housewives of New York.
No. How about this? Why don't you choose the show? Why don't you choose the show? Because you're never going to guess the person.
Gal Girls.
No, that's a little bit too high-minded.
Millionaire Matchmaker.
No, you have one more shot.
Million Dollar Listing New York.
No. The rumor is that Jay-Z is cheating on Beyonce with one of the princesses of Long Island.
Ew, he's into chicks with strokes. He's like, yeah, stroke that dick, baby. And she's like, oh, Dad, help me.
Help me.
Out on patio, Dad. Oh, I'm twitching my vagina.
Dad, Jay-Z wants me to take off my heels. Send me a jet.
My vagina is having a stroke on Jay-Z's penis. Surfboard.
No, he is not. The rumor is not with Ashley. He is rumored to be cheating with Casey, who is the blonde girl who is mad at Erica. You know, Erica, who's sort of like the hottest girl in the North Shore. Casey was mad for 15 years that Erica had stolen her prom date. So if this is true, how the tables have turned, that Casey, who is so mad about her lover being taken away, could now be coming in between Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, good. Really, Jay-Z? You know, this is what I don't understand about men. You know, gay guys, I feel like if we cheat, we cheat with someone hotter. You know, there's like a looks, there's like a looks point system or whatever. But straight guys, I mean, they'll fuck a homeless lady without any teeth if they're drunk enough just because she doesn't. It's like the fact that she doesn't have teeth is a plus. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she doesn't have a cell phone and can't text their wives is a plus. You know, it's like, gross. You went from Beyonce to a toothless homeless woman. And he's like, yeah, but my dick's, you know, drained. Bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I did some reading about this from different sites, and I feel like the conclusion is this is such a random rumor that it almost has to be true, even if it's probably put out by Casey herself.
Yeah, it's probably put out by Casey herself. So, I mean, those girls are still doing interviews for like Wet Paint or whatever. Wet Paint's like, the most amazing thing you'll never believe. Someone has AIDS. Click here, and you click it, and it's like, Casey thinks there might be another season of The Princesses. They're just waiting to hear. It's like, this article had nothing to do with AIDS.
Yeah.
Why did I click on this Wet Paint? You got me again, Wet Paint!
Meanwhile,
but those girls are like talking about how they're going to get another season.
Well, I mean, if this scandal were to be true, I guarantee we'd get another season. I guarantee it. Funny looking. Well, funny looking.
How could you call someone funny looking? That is the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard. Dad! Help me! Just sent the plane to get me from brunch.
Help me. What was the name of the really Jewish one? What's her name, like Shalom? Or I want to say Shalom or Aviva, and I know it's neither of those things. Chanel.
Oh, Chantel.
Chanel.
Chanel. Yeah, Chanel. Yeah, Chanel.
She's like going to the rabbi. Dear rabbi, I hear that Casey is with Jay-Z, and I just want to know when I will find someone.
I can't even find someone else's husband.
Babs is like, oh, you gotta bring Jay-Z over to the store. I gotta give him a drink hanky.
Hey, Jay-Z, I made a seat for you to sit on. It looks just like my face.
Hey, Jay-Z, I made you a salad with some wishbone dressing.
By the way, I would totally watch the Jay-Z episode of Princesses Long Island. So who's Beyonce going to retaliate with?
Wishbone dressing. That is so hilarious. Remember? I just remember going,
it drove me nuts. I was like, I can't believe this bitch put out wishbone dressing on the table. They're recording on national TV. Dress y'all salad or put it in some sort of gravy train.
Oh, and you two getting married.
Hey, Jay-Z and Casey. You guys can go on a double date with Amanda and Jeff.
So what does the Z stand for?
Does it stand for Zelling? That's one of my favorite Woody Allen movies.
I hope it stands for Zooish, because that's what we're looking for my baby.
Like, I don't understand why, like, Jay-Z is not with me. I'm, like, one of the hottest girls in the North Shore. Like, I was the hottest one, so, like, I don't understand why he's not with me.
I love that show. I can't believe that they're not even considering bringing that show back. That show was amazing.
I know. Dad, help me.
Help.
Jay-Z has couches out on the front yard.
And I love this stupid Ashley, like, no matter what's brought up online, it's like Ashley's response is, I just had a stroke.
This
stop
is probably
where you had a stroke. You've had like 20 strokes this year, you midge. Stop it.
This is probably where the rumor came from. She probably like heard something about like Jay-Z and Beyonce, and she heard a stroke when she had a stroke when someone said Beyonce, and she got the syllables all mixed up, and she's like, "What? Jay-Z and Casey?" She's like, did you hear that Casey released a secret album in December with no promotion? Everyone's downloading it.
Surfboard.
I love Casey's new song, Drunk in Love.
Drunk in Love.
All right.
Okay, what's next?
What show do you want to start with, Ronnie?
Well, I say we should save Real Housewives of New York for last, because okay, that was just pure amazingness, and we don't really have to add much to that. Yeah. And that's all I care about. Let's get rid of Married to Medicine real quick.
Okay,
show, come on with Married to Medicine. Ah.
What I should have did was give $50,000 to Eugene to take the show off the air, and then give another $10,000 after we lost our $50,000, and then after that we could have driven to an NBA player's house and climbed over the fence and be like, it's my house.
I'm not in the mood to lose $50,000 right now.
No one's in the mood. Who'd you give $50,000 to, you dumb hoe?
I know. It's like, I think she actually gave $50,000 to the Monopoly man. You know, she went into like a Toys R Us, found
like
a Monopoly man.
Go and collect $5,000. He's like, no. She's like, I'll give you $50,000.
I love also that she's like, I can't lose this house. I already bought the furniture for it. I'm like, you stupid idiot. That's why you don't buy furniture until you move into the house.
She didn't buy furniture. She bought a coffee table book.
The coffee table book's going to serve as the coffee table, too. It's like Seinfeld.
Toya and Eugene lost $50,000 because they couldn't get their loan to go through, which is super shady. So that's what happened with them.
Well, it's because he has way too much money and the bank doesn't know what to do with him. Don't forget that part.
Oh, yeah. They don't know. It's like,
is he like an emergency room doctor or is he like his own private contractor? The bank's like, I don't know.
He's got so much money. Yeah, he's got so much money. The bank's like, whoa.
What I should have did was I should have came to the bank and been like, oh, Eugene's he's a pilot with the Air Force. And then they'd be like, okay, here's $100,000.
I had done that. They'd give them $50,000.
What I should do is go to the drug kazam and be like, hey, can I get a loan for like $5,000 for Eugene?
Poor thing. So then she finds a rental.
Yeah.
That some like NBA guy, and so she's all excited because it has a gate in front of it. So now they're not going to own anything. They're just going to rent a house way out of their price range, which means they'll never buy anything and they're going to go totally broke. Bye.
And I see it
happening, and I hope this show is on the air long enough just so I can see that bitch go broke.
Oh, yeah, and obviously she's only excited about the house because it belonged to an NBA star.
Yeah.
It's like, congratulations, you got Christian Laettner's house.
Yeah, congrats. They're going to have a humongous toilet in there, okay? Yeah. And also, all I could think that whole time was Melissa writing her a note, like on top of a box of sugar cookies. It says, congrats on your used house.
Yeah. That's true. Heavenly did nothing, but her daughter once again proved to be the smartest one on the show. And then the other thing was Dr. Simone decided to have a date night, which is one of my least favorite things on these shows, is when they have a date night. Or they read their vows again. The only thing I liked about it is that I think Simone's kids are really cute and really like I love them. I think they look like they're very well raised children, and I like seeing them on TV.
Well, I like her romantic dinner. She's like, "This is a dinner I have made for you to show you my love. How do you feel?" And he's like, "I feel like you need to stop working so damn." It's like he starts the same thing. It's like, yeah. "How come you never wipe pee sprinkles off the toilet seat?" Like, wow, we're trying to have a romantic night here, okay?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Mariah did base. I don't think Mariah was barely. She's barely even in this episode.
Poor Mariah, right? Is basically being cut out of her own show.
Yeah, she. I think that's funny. And then Quad, she had like she had this like ridiculous fight with her husband, but the husband was sort of in the right. The husband's like,
fat people with real problems in this world, and you're pampering dogs.
Why are you talking about puppets like they're your babies? They're not your babies. There's real babies in this world. There's real babies who need clothes. There's real babies who need to look like they're in Chanel's. Why are you doing that?
It's like, oh no, why are you yelling, first of all? And second of all, this has nothing to do with her not wanting your baby. I think you need to shave down your pinhead or something to prove it can be done, because nobody wants to be the mother of pinhead children.
Well, I think the hilarious thing was, I think the entire fight started because Quiet was like, you can call them Carrie, you can call them Chloe, you can call them whatever you want, but do not call them dogs. I'm like, no, but because
he walked
dogs
into the room and she had their names written on chalkboards like she was taking score. And he's like,
why are their names on chalkboards? That's ridiculous. They're not children. They're dogs.
And she's like, how dare you call them dogs?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
She's like, you could put that dish in the washer because, honey, it is empty.
She's like, yellow and blue makes green, honey. And that's why this Ziploc is open for business.
Put a bookmark in that book and put it on the shelf because I'm not opening it again.
The expiration date on this milk is expired, honey, and I'm not drinking.
I hope you put oil in that cast iron pan because things are smoking in here.
I hope you have one of those fold-out signs that says wet floor because you're about to slip, honey.
I hope you emptied out the ashtray because there's a cigarette button there and it better not come from your mouth.
I don't know why you're standing at the bus stop because this bus ain't stopping, honey.
The only thing you better be looking at is that palm tree over there because you're going to get a frond in your face.
A frond. Okay, so I have to admit that her dog clothes were actually extremely adorable. Love them.
I didn't.
One thing I was worried about was how the dogs pee without getting it all over tutus. Like, how does that work?
I did not like the dog clothes. Only maybe because I'm not much of a dog person. / I'm also not that into too many small dogs. There are a few exceptions. My friend Neil, by the way, has a wonderful dog named Molly and another dog named Buddy, and they're both small and adorable. So I make exceptions for them.
And Dead Xena was very cute, and still my little ghost Dead Xena walks around the house and gives me attitude, and she's a very small dog ghost, and she's very cute. So whatever.
But that being said, some of those, like one of those dogs was running around with like a little frilly tutu thing, and it looked ridiculous. They looked like they were in a costume for school play in first grade as a sunflower. You know,
I like when she's like,
that dog's walking on Beverly Hills.
It's like, yeah. Beverly Hills is not a street, okay? Yeah. It's a place. Okay, so the other thing was,
Lisa Nicole is having a fashion show. No. A fashion show that has nothing to do with the cancer that I almost had.
Oh, my God.
And so they started casting models, and this was the most racist casting session I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. They were so mean to the white girls. White girl, they were like, ugh, gross, girl. Oh, God.
Meanwhile, the only person who was qualified to be there was Cynthia Bailey, who was there as like a little Atlanta crossover. There is no reason why Dwight should be there. Dwight is not qualified to do anything. I mean, every episode he's doing something else. One episode he is like, you know, opening doors for people. One episode he's bringing in cakes for Phaedra's baby birthday. One episode he's suddenly a hairstylist. I mean, he's like, if there's anything remotely gay, he suddenly is the master of it. And I don't believe it.
And I like when he was like, I don't like her face, honey. I'm like, have you seen yourself, Felicia Facade? You look ridiculous. You look like an Adobe house. Shut up.
I know.
All I wrote about Dwight was, Dwight, dress like a horse that needs to be put down.
He literally looks like, you know, like those like scary muscle car things, and they have gear shifts that have little skulls on them. That's what he looks like. You know, stick shifts with the, you know, like badass people. Like Dwight should have a big hand over his face, and when he gets like moved backwards, a car goes into drive.
Oh my God, that guy's awful.
No, he's truly awful, and I don't know how he still lingers around Bravo after all these years.
Yeah, it's like there's got to be more men who dress like women in town besides the three that you guys use.
I know. I feel so bad for the Atlanta gays that those who represent them are Derek J., Lawrence, and Dwight.
Well, to be fair, we don't have much better ones here.
That's true.
Who do we have?
We do have
Josh. I like him.
From Million Dollar Listing?
Yeah, I like that guy. Yeah, Madison's like, no, that guy is basically just a vagina. That guy's basically a butthole, like a vagina made out of a butthole walking around.
We have every single drag queen who is on RuPaul's Drag Race who then moves to California and then thinks they're going to make it big by performing at Mickey's once a week.
Oh my gosh, poor Mickey's. I'm like, could you put the videos back? Oh, no, that's Revolver. I'm like, can we go watch videos now? Because I do not need any more of these drag queens screaming in my face. Also, you know what? What about drag queens performing? How about that? Okay? I went to this thing at the Abbey a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago called Drag Queen Prom. Drag prom.
Okay.
And so everybody showed up and like dressed to the nines. Like all the drag queens looked just so pretty. I mean, for drag queens. And they looked so nice and stuff. And then throughout the night, they would just walk around and try and trick you into voting for them. But they didn't ever perform or anything. They just asked you for votes. I mean, what the hell, you guys perform? Do something besides dress like women. Like it used to be you have to sing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, now they just like walk around lip syncing Katy Perry songs. Like anybody can do that. See? And half the guys there are dressed like women anyway. So like, how am I going to vote for you? I'll just vote for the blind Asian guy in the corner touching the statue and dancing to Katy Perry songs. He wins.
Well, the other thing is too that some of these drag queens don't do anything special. They just prance around and people.
Hot glue gun some jewels from Michaels to a fucking dress from Forever 21 and then expect you to give them money. Like, get out of here.
I'm telling you, like not too long ago, maybe like a month ago, I was dragged, no pun intended, dragged to Mickey's on a Thursday night at midnight. And you know, Mickey's main drag night is on Monday, which is already not really my scene. But Thursday night is like the real ghetto drag night. And so I got dragged to this thing. I was so unhappy. And they brought out someone who came in like seventh place on RuPaul's Drag Race like 3 years ago. And people were like, oh! And this person just like pranced around, sat, like missed lots of lyrics. And people threw dollars at him or her. And I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing.
We definitely need to have higher standards for drag queens. You know, I mean, remember back in the day, like Torch Song Trilogy and Harvey Fierstein was a drag queen. He's like, love for sale. He wasn't lip syncing. He was singing like a 90-year-old woman, but at least he'd memorize something.
So how about, speaking of drag queens, should we go on to Atlanta?
Any other show would
work. Why don't we go to Atlanta, Candy's...
that segue.
Yeah.
We Candy's to... Wedding. The only note I wrote down is Mama Joyce is a cunt. That's basically... Oh, cunt no, fitness. That's wrong. I'm sorry. First of all, it's wrong to say cunt, so I'm sorry for that. But I wrote, Mama Joyce is an old slaggy cunt. That's what I wrote. Sorry for saying cunt 5 times.
You know, I don't understand how Mama Joyce, as deranged and as awful as she is, can churn out such like a lovely person like Candy. You know?
Well,
Candy should be so much more messed up. I guess she is messed up in that she still does all these things for her mama.
Don't mess with my mama! Don't mess with my food!
See? Now, Mama told me all sorts of weird things, and like, you was like... not there because, like, I don't know, like, you wasn't wanting to hang out with me. And I was like, Mama, see, how am I going to have a daddy to show to Riley? Riley?
Did your daddy tell you that I wouldn't give you Christmas gifts from him? Did your daddy tell you that I wouldn't give you birthday gifts from him?
I was like, oh my God, this show... That woman is too toxic. I can't even with
her. She is totally deranged. Awful.
This week she said she kept repeating the Todd's dad was a pimp and his mom was a hoe thing over and over again. And then when Todd finally confronts her, she's like, yes, I did say it. And
that's what I heard on the street from the people I know on the street. And I can say whatever I want. You don't talk to me, honey.
She's like, I like you. I just don't like the game. And then then he's like, the game, he's like, my dad died when I was 3. He's like, oh, it has a way of going on generations. she is such, I mean, she is truly
and
an awful.
And she swore on her dead son.
Oh, my God.
Something that she's obviously lying about.
Yeah. I mean, she is truly an awful person. And we learned also that one of the reasons why Candy's dad wasn't around was because Mama Joyce put out a restraining order on him. and that she claims that he had an affair, because I guess Bertha and Nora got into her ear, whatever. I don't know the truth of that, but she claimed that she did not put out a restraining order, so I want someone, a judicious person, to go and find the restraining order.
Well, the records are different now. Everything wasn't computerized then, so hopefully it's somewhere. But, I mean, I don't believe her. She's obviously lying. She lies about everything. She's a crazy person.
She's like, I didn't put a restraining order on your father. I put it on your dad.
I wasn't restraining him with ropes. I just threatened that the police would take him to jail forever if he tried to see my baby. I didn't want him to take any of your money, Candy.
I wasn't restraining your dad. I was restraining the game.
Candy, your daddy only wanted the quarters that you had saved up from the Tooth Fairy, Candy. And those are mine. Those are mine, Candy.
I don't like that Tooth Fairy. I mean, I like the Tooth Fairy, but I don't like her game.
That Tooth Fairy was trying to have sex with your father. And I told that bitch, I heard on the street, your mama was a prostitute. You better get off my daughter's pillow, prostitute daughter.
This is what I heard, okay? I heard the Tooth Fairy was trying to get with Todd, so I told the Easter Bunny, why don't you go get some photos? Just what they're doing, that's all.
One time, it was Christmas, and Santa Claus got fat because he got so depressed about all those hoes coming to sit on his lap like that Tooth Fairy and that Easter Bunny, baby.
See, that Tooth Fairy is just like Carmen. In fact, I heard on the street that Carmen's actually the Tooth Fairy, okay?
Carmen had sex with that Tooth Fairy. I tried to take a picture of it, but now she's not allowed in my home, Candy.
Now, I like Carmen, and I like the Tooth Fairy, but I don't like that game because we all know that Carmen is the Tooth Fairy's madam.
Yeah, the only reason I'm still watching this piece of shit is because I want to see Todd's mom beat the shit out of her next week and break her finger. That's absolutely the only reason I'm watching it. Because next week, her mom, who's played by, like, I don't know, who is, she looks like somebody, but I can't figure out who
she
it
looks
is.
Like the dead woman from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Lynn, what's her face?
Oh, she does. She does look like her. Oh, my God.
She needs to hold up a magnifying glass and be like, here's your clue.
Oh, yes. What is that woman's name? I know her from the musical Tin Types off Broadway. Thank you very much.
I like drag queens are too gay. Now let me make a very obscure Broadway reference.
Yeah, but at least those people do something more than show up in a dress and get dollars thrown at them. They sing, okay?
They do. I do like the show. I also like, by the way, there were two times when people on this show referred to themselves having a Portia moment. One was Candy being like, see, now, how do you tell the difference between a male lion and a female lion? Like, Ryla, how do you do that? And they're like, Candy, there's a mane. She's like, ooh, Portia moment. But then I like that her gay at one point was like, when Candy's like, I could be from Africa. And the gay was like, yeah, you could be from Cape Cod.
Everybody basically on Candy's crew says Portia moment.
Yeah.
Poor Portia.
I know. Poor Porsche. Poor Porsche. Poor Porsche. I'm actually enjoying the show. I can't believe it. I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah, it's okay. But Candy's mom is just too terrible. But she's kind of the only reason I'm watching it, because I'm watching to see how terrible she can get. But, I mean, in one episode, she called someone's mother a whore, someone's dead father a pimp. She swore on her own dead son. What else did she do in this episode? I mean, she's pretty despicable. So
she called Candy's best friend sneaky.
Which one, Carmen?
No, she's like, I like tan, but I don't like Carmen.
Oh yeah, and she's like, can I wear a black dress?
I don't want to stand up at your wedding, Candy. That's a lot to ask.
Well, you know that was
a man I don't like.
By the way, and what an awful moment when Candy's like, hey, could you give me away? And Mama Joyce is like, no. I mean, I just wanted to slap her.
She's a disgusting human being, man.
She really, really is.
That's some terrible parenting. Candy, kick her to the curb, Candy.
Make sure Riley does not grow up under her influence. Riley!
Riley.
So let's move on to Real Housewives of Orange County. You down to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so Orange County, I loved this episode. You always know you're in for a really good episode when, like, the party, that's going to be, like, the climax of the episode, starts about 20 minutes in. Then you know you're in for a good time.
Yes, I agree. That was a good time, and I love that Shannon's like, oh, I don't spend anything on Christmas. And then there's, like, 20 employees, 30 trees.
like an extra chandelier.
She and her husband hate each other openly, which I still love.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Well, Vicky's bullshit crying.
Everything.
Okay. Well, should we just jump to the main event?
I'm gonna. Before we get to the party, the only other thing that happened prior to the party really was that Tamara took her son to the doctor, and basically Ryan's gonna have a heart attack because he's been doing so many drugs. And so we got a bunch of comments on the Facebook page about it, and Rebecca Qin Shack wrote that she really enjoyed the excellent production job of clipping together Tamara dismissing Eddie's concerns about her injecting her body full of plastic and chemicals, followed by her saying, why does Ryan have to fill his body with chemicals? He is perfectly fine how he is. Why can't he be happy with his body?
Yeah, you don't have to inject yourself with something to be acceptable. And meanwhile, she's like, saying that you can only tell she's crying because her voice is shaking. The rest of her face isn't even moving. But to counter that, she did have a point when she said, Eddie is always telling me I don't need stuff in my face to look beautiful, but if I stopped, he would see the real me. And you know what? I already see the real her poking through all that.
Yeah,
and it
exactly.
is not you. Keep doing whatever you... Sometimes I think it's overboard. In your case, I would buy a bicycle pump. Put it in your ear and just keep pumping.
Yeah, do whatever it takes to distract from your real personality, Tamara, because once the looks go, it's going to be real dark.
She looks like one of those straws that you like, you know, when you squeeze the paper off of the straw to make it so you could put a drop of water onto it and make it look like a snake. She looks like that before you put the drop of water onto it. She just needs to just keep those fillers coming, girl. That girl's going to be filled more than a speed bump.
So, you know, it is funny that she is talking so much about, like, where does he get these body issues from? Where does he get them from? And she's sitting next to him at the same doctor getting hormone injections and testosterone and all sorts of other things getting put into her body. But I also liked, once again, Emmy McAdams Burbano said that, you know, when the doctor said, you know, basically he has to kind of detox, and Emmy goes, I have more faith in Lori Peterson's son, Josh, getting clean after his fifth felony than I have in Tamara's son.
Yeah, Tamara's son, poor guy. I mean, he's been ignored his whole life. He's been in terrible parental households his whole life. His mom does nothing but care about some stupid show she's on. What's all that drama with Tamara and her daughter? Did we already talk about this? Because I already forgot what all the drama was.
Yeah, I think it was that the daughter was saying that her mom was a bad mother, and it was like, poverty over there and terrible living conditions. Who knows?
Well, if Tamara is anything a mother, like she is a friend to people, then I just feel bad for Ryan. You know, I don't blame him. God bless his little heart. You just keep taking whatever you can.
Yeah. You know what's
the
sad,
sooner
though?
You die, the more of a chance you don't have to clean up your mom's poop when she starts leaking all over the place. Get out of there before you start having to take care of that hag, because you know Eddie's not going to be around to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be over at Slade's house.
I kind of feel bad for him, because if he was taking steroids and HGH and all that stuff, he should be, like, much bigger. he should be, like, at least, like, big and muscular. He's just sort of, like, a little bigger and hairy and old-looking.
Yeah, he just got hairier. Like, taking in the hairier groceries from the trunk of your car isn't working out. You still have to, like, do push-ups and stuff.
Yeah. So, it's funny, talking about working out, so... the fitness industry was really at the center of this episode. So when we went to this Christmas party that Shannon was having, that she allegedly spent only $5 on, and when there's, like, again, tons and tons of decorations, the big thing that happened is that Heather got a guest gig for Good Day LA. Oh, and sorry to back up yet again. Another thing that happened before the show is Heather goes to promote her appearance on Hawaii 5-0, where she has like a few lines, and she starts telling us, she's like, "Ugh, I love a publicity tour. It's just so fun to get out there and again talk and be blah 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 blah." I'm like, "Publicity tour? You have a guest spot on a CBS procedural. You did not just come out with a book and a feature film."
And next, the person who was dead in the first scene of last week's Law and Order. Like, who does that? That's not a press tour, you dumb slut. Like, they did that for you because you're on the Housewives show.
Yeah. So I love that she was already assigning so much more significance to it. But truthfully, she was. They said they wanted her to be like a guest host, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, you know why? Because no one's watching that shit anymore since they fired the really funny ones. Yeah. They're like, keep the old guy who has no jokes and get rid of the funny old tanned hags who were the only reason to watch this show. Yeah. I mean, both those women look like
Cabana Boy.
Dixie Leonard or what was that her name? No,
you just That's lost
Bette Midler's
me big
character
time.
From For the Boys.
Oh.
Okay, you know Good Day LA used to have those two women
Julian,
on it
who would like Jillian
to
talk Barbary.
Like this, like Jillian Barbary.
They were like basically like two crazy shrews, yeah.
Yeah, they were just like these old, like overly tan LA hags, like big fake boobs. Their skin was like brown and crinkly, and they were really funny. They'd be like,
"I saw Demi Moore at a party. She had a little boy sucking on her tit for sustenance."
They were, like, disgusting. They were awesome. They were and then terrible. They fired them both, and now they're getting, like, Housewives because no one's watching it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so at Heather's party, I mean, sorry, at Shannon's party, Heather's there, and Tamara walks in, and Heather's, like, really excited, and she's like, "Hey, Tamara, just so you know, I got this guest hosting gig, and we're basically allowed to make two segments, and I would love to have you and your people on to promote Cut Fitness on the show." And Tamara's reaction is, like, you might as well have just told her that her son actually had the heart attack. That was predicted. She was just sort of, you know, dumbfounded, kind of crying and sad. And the reason why is then she launched this whole thing that, like, "Well, 6 months ago when you were a guest on there, you had, like, my competitor in Newport Beach. And that was, like, a dagger in the heart." What did you think about Tamara's response?
Well, I totally agree with what Vicky said. It's a fucking gift.
Thank you.
You know, Heather is under no obligation. Like, what if I was on some talk show for, like, I don't know, like, what if I got hit by a bus and I was on some talk show? Am I supposed to be like, "Well, Ben, my friend Ben has a really lovely blog"? No, I mean, I just got hit by a fucking bus and I'm on TV. It doesn't have anything to do with you. And if I say, "Hey, Ben's got a great blog," then you better send me some fucking flowers or something.
Yeah, I will maybe
like
do
I'm
that.
Forced to do it, you know? The bus did it.
Yeah. Well, Tamara's dumb for many reasons. One of them is that she's been doing this show long enough that she's probably been on a lot of talk shows, and she should know the way they work, you know? She should know that Heather truly had probably no control over the situation.
Okay, well, then I'm going to have to stop you there. Okay, one area where I guess I'm going to disagree with everybody from what I've been reading on the page, but Heather did know. It was her gym. Like, that's where Heather works out. That's where she gets personally trained. Her instructor was the one who told Tamara that Heather set it up. And you know what? Heather is totally within her rights to do that. Why wouldn't Heather hook up somebody who's been nice to her, who gets her in killer shape to distract us from that fucking awful gerbil
but
face that she's got going on?
But she probably, what probably happened was Fox said to her, "We want to get the gym that you go to. Can you bring your trainer? We want this." And she's like, "Okay, well, this is the gym that I go to," you know? Like, she was, it's sort of like it's a mixture of both.
It's not her duty to be like, and first of all, Tamara's gym is a one room, it's like one big warehouse room with plastic wood floors.
Yeah.
With like five fat ladies working out who are fans of the show and have no interest in losing weight. There's nothing even on the shelves. Like, they had to make a plot point of there being nothing on the shelves to explain it. Tamara's gym is full of shit. It's not even real. Why the hell would Heather take a crew over there?
And on top of that, apparently during that segment, it wasn't just Heather's gym. It was like a few other things from Heather's life. So Tamara would have actually been having to share the segment with other people. So she would have had less screen time. And on top of that, Tamara is part of the Real Housewives of Orange County. Her gym already has so much free publicity that the last thing she should complain about is that this competitor, whose name I still don't even know, happened to be on the show. And on top of that, on top of everything else, by her making a stink about it, the competitor actually made its way onto Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yep. Yeah, Tamara's an idiot. Like, she's so stupid. First of all, why are you opening a gym? Like, if you're going to have a housewife's business, why in the world would you have a one-room gym? How much money could you possibly make from that? Okay, your membership is $50 a month. Let's say you get 100 people to do that. Okay, great. Now you're making what? How much is that? $5,000?
Right.
Okay, so now you're making $5,000 a month. You know rent's at least $3,000. And, I mean, how are you going to make a long-term living off of one little gym? You need to have something you can sell to the whole world, you know?
Right.
Stupid. She's just stupid. It's like she wanted somewhere so Eddie could have somewhere to go alone and have a steam room and blow guys. It's not a gay club. Well, she wanted to keep tabs on her man.
Here's the only – I'm gonna try to play devil's advocate here, because I'm going to try – the only way that I can see Tamara having the smallest thread of a point is if she's saying – if in her mind she's thinking, you know, well, you know, Heather had a chance to put me on 6 months ago and she didn't, and now she's coming to me as if it's like, oh, like, you know, like as if like, wow, isn't this so great when I'm really only the second choice? And so I can see maybe how she could be like maybe offended, but even then she should be like, you know what, that's ridiculous. I should not be offended right now. I'm being offered a platform, and I should thank this bitch, even if she is condescending to me.
Well, she could just say, oh, so now that we're shooting the actual season, you'll have me on your fucking news show, and you won't call your own personal trainer first. Thanks a lot, Heather. Thanks a lot. And then Heather would be like, I'm offended. And she'd be like, I'm just playing. You know, well, meanwhile, be passive aggressive about it. I mean, don't just be a flat-out bitch. And then we see from the previews next week that she's going to do it anyway. It's like... Yeah. What a bitch. Heather should have just pulled it from her.
And then meanwhile, Terry gets dragged into this because Tamara's like, well, I was getting texts from Terry where he was saying, I told her not to do it. I told her not to do it. And I was surprised that Terry was not, you know, decapitated by Heather. But he actually had an excuse ready to go, which is he was saying, no, I wasn't telling her not to have the guest on. I was telling her not to do the segment at all. But... It was so pitiful.
It was so stupid. No one cares about Good Day LA. That's why you're on it.
But you know what, though? I do have to give Heather credit because it seems like, I guess, every year there's a controversy that brews around one of her ridiculous minor gigs.
Yeah, but you know what? One thing we've learned about Heather this season, for sure, I mean, we've always known that she's a stuck-up twat. But what we know for this season, for sure, is that she's a complete liar and fabricator and Paul Bunyan. She doesn't tell the truth. Everything she says is a lie. I mean, right. That whole thing from the beginning of the season, that wasn't even close to being true. And I can't wait to the reunion where they show her lying her face off and then show clips of what really happened.
I mean, talking about the chair or?
Yeah, that whole chair thing and, you know, what's her buns coming at her, yelling at her and waving her finger and acting hysterical and blah. And she's like, it's about perception. You know, it's bullshit. It's not about perception.
Heather actually has the funniest controversies of all time. She has a big fight about a chair. She has a fight about Malibu Country. And now she has an issue with Good Day LA. It's actually hilarious. And she's a gem as a result of that. But here's actually Curtis Jensen, one of our listeners, wrote this comment on our Facebook page. He says, Tamara has a serious problem with believing the worst about people based on hearsay from third parties. It's what she did to Gretchen. Instead of trusting the person who she knows, she tosses the people to the wolves and accuses them of crimes against friendships and then sticks a flag in the ground around the lie. Heather was right. Why would she intentionally do something to hurt Tamara? It doesn't make any sense. If you love Tamara because she stirs up drama, that's fine. But can we clarify that she's the worst kind of person imaginable and really shitty friend, and that Heather is the actual person we would want to know in real life? At least I would rather have a mature, intelligent, talented woman like Heather over an irrational bitch who would turn on me in a heartbeat.
Well, first of all, no one here likes Tamara. Tamara's a total C word. We all hate her. She's an awful human being. She seems like an awful parent, an awful wife, an awful friend, an awful everything. I mean, an awful celebrity. Like, her appearances on Watch What Happens are just disgusting. The woman's a horrible human being. No one likes Tamara, okay?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make Heather any better. Heather is a stuck-up woman who hasn't done shit. She's a third-rate actress who'd never had any career besides appearing on some terrible sitcom Jenny McCarthy was in like 1982. She doesn't do shit with her life except marry some rich dude, brag about his money like she's actually had it her whole life. She's a nouveau riche, stick-up-her-ass bitch. I'm so sick of hearing how Heather is so great and so nice. Heather is not nice. She's not a good person either. She's a total fake, phony user. And she's a housewife and a D-rate celebrity doing anything she can to be on TV. Like, Heather is no better. She's sucky too.
Here's my feeling on it. I think in terms of quality of their personalities, I think Tamara is the worst person. I think in terms of people that I sort of like on the show, which is sort of different, I like Tamara more than Heather. But I think to get to Curtis's point, in real life, if I had to choose between the two, it's not a great choice, but I probably would choose Heather, because even if she is condescending and she does have a totally distorted view of reality, I feel like there's some intelligence there more than Tamara. Although Tamara seems more fun, so I don't know.
Heather speaks like she has intelligence. She has that voice. She has the authority.
She was like, she has the authority. Speaks slowly for you, so that way you understand this. But she wasn't trying to speak to you in that way.
The only thing that Heather has ever really had to discuss is how rich her friends are, their planes, how rich she is, her new home, the acting work she's done, which is total bullshit. I wouldn't hang out with Heather. She won't even go stand on a basketball court and play around with people because she's so fucking uptight. She stands at the top of the stairs and watches them with that stick up her ass. I would not hang out with someone like that. I mean, Tamara's an awful human being, but at least she's fun. You could get wasted with her and go push some fuckboys down over. You know, like,
that's the thing. I feel like you could have so much fun.
You get your ear fucked with Tamara. I mean, what are you going to do with fucking Heather?
That's the thing. I mean, I feel like as evil as Tamara is, you could have so much fun with her. I bet she would come on this podcast and she'd actually be hilarious and she'd be so much fun. Heather is so not fun at all. But I don't know. It's almost like someone took a human being and took two parts of their personality and put them into two separate humans. And really, like, one cannot exist without the other properly. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But anyway, so they had this fight. And then they quote-unquote squashed it. But then, of course, Tamara went and started talking to Shannon about it. And, of course, I love Shannon's my favorite on the cast. And, you know, Shannon's like, well, you know, that Heather, she's so condescending. It's so condescending. And then they all start talking about Heather, and then Heather walks in the room, and it is so quiet and awkward and awful that when I was watching it, I like actually had to pause this TV and just like stop for a moment, because I'm like, this is about to get terrible so quickly.
And well, because it's like it's that part of the year where Tamara is mean to somebody again for no reason. And this time she's weaker than usual because she's actually trying to make people believe still that she's a good person, like she was last year, remember?
Yeah.
And she's obviously not, and has just been talking mad shit, but is so upset when it's brought up by the new bimbo because she's not ready to go at it with Heather, and for good reason. She has no leg to stand on. She could not fight. Yeah. And then Heather's like, did you do that? Did you go poo-poo in your pants? Did you? You tell me. Did you go poo-poo in your pants? I'm not going to give you a spanking this time, but I'm going to give you a stern warning, Missy. Stern warning. Poopy in the toilet.
Well, Heather does. I mean, she really, as Shannon says, Heather is very, the one thing she is good at is turning the thing around. Like, if Tamara's like, you know, I really didn't like how you murdered that person, and then Heather would be like, do you understand how difficult it was for me to walk in here and have you say that to me? Because I may have murdered that person then, but I'm not murdering someone now. And for you to bring that up to me now is totally out of place. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
And also, Shannon has no place in this fight, and she's only fighting it because she's mad at Heather because she doesn't like Heather.
Well, no, because I think Shannon
wants to yell at Heather.
Well, Shannon, you know, the best part about Shannon is that at any given moment, she's, like, going to explode on someone. You know, she's like, David, don't do that, David, you know.
David, is that tequila? Oh, jeez, David.
Meanwhile, David's like, you know, if you're in a good mood when you have sex, you have a boy, and if you're in a pissy mood, you hate life, you're gonna have a girl. Oh, hey, Sophie. Oh, father of the year. By the way, I don't think that Lizzie was stirring the pot when she was like, can you guys just talk about this? I think she was like, this is so fucking awkward and you guys are being ridiculous. Can you guys just like get this over with so we can get back to a normal party?
I think she was just calling Tamara out because Tamara's such a bitch. I mean, Tamara and Shannon both just sitting there talking about it. And then you know, Tamara having to come in and make a big deal about it at a Christmas party. And, you know, she's obviously just trying to stir the pot. So yeah. It was funny. It was funny kind of that Lizzie did that. But
yeah, it was,
again, I just don't get why they cast people who are just so different from the other women. I think Shannon works because she automatically fits in. She's in the right age group. But like casting some big dumb bimbo with big old fake old boobs. Right.
Well,
like,
I don't think she's a bimbo, that? But I know what you're saying. I think, but what was also funny was the way Heather, once Shannon started yelling at Heather, she's like, you know, you're so condescending. Heather was just like, wait a second. Are we going to have this argument now? Or we're going to have this argument. Which argument should we do right now? Just like Heather was like trying to control traffic a little bit in her brain.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm mad at you now because you told her to pick sides. I mean, you told her to pick sides in a
David, get the potatoes out of the microwave. She's picking sides.
Jeez, now they're down there all alone while we're up here with potatoes. I mean, what are they going to talk about down there? What are they going to do, David?
David, she's being very condescending, and I'm feeling very misunderstood right now. Okay, all right. Okay,
well, those cost $5,000, right. Those candles, David. I hope you make them work, David. Those were expensive. I spent $5,000, David.
The smoke they give off does not go into your lungs. They're specially engineered that way. That's just the way it is. So the best part of all this, though, is that once this sort of the dust kind of settled, Heather had the worst exit of all time. Like, the worst fake exit. She just pulls a phone. She pulls the phone out of her purse. She's like, Nikki, oh, your stomach's hurting? Oh, Terry, his stomach's hurting. He's like, oh, honey, your stomach's hurting? Oh, wow. Okay, well, we gotta go. Bye.
Yeah, why don't they just say, look, this is lame. You guys fight amongst yourselves. I'm going home. Bye.
Yeah. By the way, the strangest thing to come out of the episode was learning that Terry's brother was in Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
Where did that
come
from?
No one knew. I love that he's explaining it to someone who has no idea what he's talking about. He's like, yeah, no big deal.
Yes.
He was just number one over Michael Jackson. Okay.
I know. That was, he was being so obnoxious about it. I was like, you know, Terry, you're kind of an asshole, too. It is hilarious of Heather Dubrow being a former sister-in-law to the Quiet Riot. I mean, because, you know, the guy died. But, like, it is, like...
Because she's not quiet and she's not a riot. It's like he went opposite of his family.
I can just imagine, like, at a Quiet Riot concert, Heather comes on stage and goes, you have to keep it down, okay? Like, I respect the music, but what's happening here is not okay with everyone over here. Okay,
you are screaming and yelling like lunatics. I mean, I feel endangered. I feel like an endangered species on this stage because you are yelling and screaming like lunatics, waving your fingers at people while you're singing. This is called Quiet Riot, okay? This is what I paid for, Quiet.
You are telling us to come on, feel the noise. But I don't hear noise, and I have a problem with that.
Oh, Heather. God. She's so boring.
She is. Should we move on to Ladies of London?
I mean, even if you think about the fight, like, it was funny because that fight was mostly funny just because Shannon wouldn't let anything go. And I just think Shannon's personality is so funny. But that was the most awkward scene ever. And it's just, and when Heather leaves, she goes up to Tamara and she's like, listen, Tamara, I love you, but I do not.
Beard. Ronnie, are you back?
Oh yeah, was I gone?
You said you were about to talk about how Heather was
just
like
how Heather left.
Yeah, how she's like, I love you, but I don't like you right now.
I do not like you right now, Missy. You think about that very, very deeply, okay? I want you to turn around, look into that corner, and count to 20, okay? Until you're ready to come back out here.
Now I'm gonna call my son right now. It's like, oh Heather, you're speaking into the back of your phone. Oh. Sorry, my phone has a carport. Let's move on to Ladies of London because we still have also New York City to get to as well.
Okay, great.
So, still loving Ladies of London. You know, this episode wasn't quite as, maybe not quite as good as the first episode, but I still really enjoy it. It really is Grown Up Gallery Girls, and it's the best.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, this one I took so many notes on, I guess because they're all so new and I'm finding everything to be so hilarious. But yeah. I love how at the beginning the British girls are like, oh, the Americans. And the Americans are like, God, they've all got sticks up their asses. And one of them goes, what about that girl Annabelle? She seems kind of reserved, doesn't she? And then it cuts to Annabelle at the polo thing, just like lying down on a couch. Like, she can't even bother to like sit up straight. She's just like, I was friends with someone famous.
Alexander McQueen's muse.
I'm going to just lay here until Alexander comes back, darling.
Darling, it's not a club. It's a mallet. With little three dogs. I did like how for as much as they talked about being classy, it was like the Caprice show and how she made this announcement to the British tabloids about how she's having two babies at the same time. And is there nothing going on in London? I mean, how could that be front page news?
Well, when she's like, Kate Middleton is the most famous woman in the world, and I'm on the front page. I'm like, Kate Middleton has been on the front page every day because you have nothing else to fucking talk about. I mean, what does Kate Middleton do? She married some fucking balding pot-belly ginger who's really rich and has a title. That's all she does. Like, they're like, Kate Middleton went shopping today. Oh, fascinating. I couldn't fucking beat her. I think the fact that some woman who looks like a man alien is having not one but two children is pretty damn fascinating.
Here's what I think is fascinating is that I completely forgot until one of our listeners posted it on our Facebook page that Caprice was on season 5 of The Surreal Life. So you know what? She can stop acting like she is part of British society and that she has any semblance of class because she was on a TV show with Bronson Pinchot, Omarosa, Janice Dickinson, and Jose Canseco, okay? You are not classy.
Yeah, that's an automatic lose.
Yeah, and she was so boring and bland on that even though I watched that entire season, I had completely forgotten that she was on it, and when I went back to watch clips, I still was like, I don't remember this girl at all.
I love that... I didn't watch that show. Mm-hmm. I love that they were showing the surrogates... What do you call that? Baby X-ray thing?
Gestational carrier.
Yeah, so she and her husband are watching this the pictures of the baby in the other stomach, and you just see how that other child's life is going to go because it wasn't like natural born. They're like, yeah. Ew, is it eating its knee? Gross. It looks like a plate of spaghetti. That thing's disgusting. Ew, it's ugly. Ew, is it yawning? Gee, are we boring you? Go to your room. You're not eating. Honey, you look beautiful. It's like, gee.
I know. What I also love is, you know, when Caprice starts talking in her fake British accent, she's like, oh, I'm Caprice, and I have such kind words to say about my babies. And then she gets on Skype with her mom from Hacienda Heights, and her mom's like, hey, hon.
Yeah. Her mom's like, just got back from Ross, got the baby something to suck on the second it comes out of the maid you hired to have her. She's Barb. Wouldn't that be awesome if her mom... Let's just make her mom Barb.
Yeah, her mom is Barb. And Caprice is like, well, I just got some clotted cream from the market.
What's cot cream? That sounds disgusting.
Mother, mom, it's clotted cream.
Like
it's all the rage.
When you get a cut, that gets clotted up because the blood hits the air and then it gets dry. It's like a God's Band-Aid.
Mummy, 3 people tweeted about me today. It's such a wonderful day.
Keep your tweeter in your pants. That's how you got into this mess. You're having 2 babies from different dads on 2 different continents.
Barb is like my Shannon impersonation, slowly turning into Leah. So the other thing that Caprice did that...
Wishbone!
So the big thing that was this episode was that there was this ball or this party called the Serpentine Party, which was a legit party because the celebrities that showed up were actually real celebrities and royals. But it was like it's the party to go to. And first of all, Caprice cracked me up because the dress she wore to it was... it looked at first like a nice, pretty green dress. And it had these big green insects on it. It was like the
most... That was like a lost game of Frogger on that dress. That was disgusting. And I love that Caroline's like, pregnant women should not be allowed to dress themselves.
I know. It's a posh put down. But the big thing was that Noelle is the one who looks sort of like an Olsen twin and Portia de Rossi mixed together.
Gracie Lords. B-movie whore.
Yeah. She's the one dating this guy, Scott, who is in the middle of a terrible divorce that's gone on for 9 years and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about the apartment that he was trying to get her that's $6,500 a month? And she's like, This, I deserve better than this. Really, bitch? What have you ever done that didn't involve sliding something down your throat? Yes. Give me a break.
Thank you. Thank you. And I love how she goes out of her way all episode to say, I'm not a gold digger, even though she's American. I'm not a gold digger.
She literally said gold. No, she literally said, love is blind. Well, yeah. Thankfully, they've got Braille now on ATM machines.
She, for someone who was supposedly so not concerned about material things, she was put up a big attitude about a perfectly lovely flat, and she was so obsessed with getting into this serpentine ball that there's just no way. You can't act like that big of a social climber and then tell us you're not a gold digger.
Yeah. Yeah. All she was obsessed that whole time with that stupid thing. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing about Caprice that I wrote down. How old is she? How is she naturally giving birth? And why didn't Jessica Tandy have these drugs? Because we could have had another little Jessica before she died. And
it's a great question.
The second thing is, I love when she was like, Mom, are his lips full like ours?
Oh, yeah. I love
your
that.
Your lips are not full. They're full of cement.
I know.
Oh, will he have big breasts as well, Mom?
Mom, have you injected any saline into the baby yet, Mom? Have Romana just lay there, Mom. All right, get a sack of flour, mix a little water, put it in a syringe, and just hope you get the baby's lips, Mom. All right?
Mom, Mom, will the child have a British accent too? Does he genetically have a British accent, Mom?
Mom, please play episodes of Frasier so the baby can have as much of a British accent as I do. Please, Mom.
Mom, what sort of Chevrolet should we name the baby? I'm Caprice, so perhaps he could be a Chevy Tundra. Is there such a thing as a Tundra? Tahoe. Could we name him Tahoe?
Could we name him RAV4, Mom?
Mom, could we name him Zuzu? Mom, could we name him Chrysler Crown Royal? Is that a car, Mom? Mom, can we name him Continental? Mom,
I don't know very many cars.
I'm like trying to go through cars.
I'm like, Mom, can we name him the Orange Line Bus?
I'm like, Mom, can we name him Camry? Can we name him Corolla?
Mom, can we name him Driver's Ed Vehicle? So they're awful lips. Okay, what else?
Caroline had an extra. Had an extra pass, and then my favorite part was that then she had one pass to give to Scott and to Noelle. So as much as Noelle is a social climber and everything, Scott, as the gentleman, should have been like, okay, honey, there's your pass. But you could see for a moment he actually wanted it. He was like, I don't know if she needs to go to this. I'm going to go instead. I was like, oh, wow. These two deserve each other.
Yeah, it's like, we'll flip for it.
Really? Like, oh, what a gentleman.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of both disgusting, and I cannot wait to see what happens. Nothing really good can happen to any of these women so far, except I would say Caroline, because maybe she's going to be really bitchy later on.
I think,
but she's really funny, and she seems genuine, at least.
Yeah, I think Caroline is going to get into a fight or have a fallout with Caprice, because in the first episode she's like, oh, I just love Caprice. She's like an honorary Brit. I'm like, okay, they're gonna hate each other by the end of the season.
Yeah, and she's like, oh god, how needy can you be? Do you have any dignity left to sell your own story to the magazine?
I know. It's not a very British thing to sell your own story. And on top of that, in the previews for next week, she says that she's starting to like Juliet. I think her name is Juliet. The Chicago
Rooster. Blech.
Yeah. And Juliet and Annabelle get into a fight next week. And it's hilarious because Juliet's like, she's saying something like, what? You think you're so special? You think you're so special? And Annabelle's just laughing. She's like,
yeah, she's like, look at the little dog barking, yapping.
So American.
Yapping dog.
Let's go on to, speaking of barking dogs, let's go on to New York City. Real Housewives of New York City.
Yeah, that's some yapping dog.
Yapping, yapping, yapping dog.
This show is hilarious. Yeah. I have enjoyed parts of New York in the past, but usually I find it to be like New Jersey, where it's so toxic and mean that it makes me uncomfortable, and it stresses me out to watch it. Like, especially the Jill Zarin years, like the end of the Jill Zarin year, that last Jill Zarin year was just horrible. Like, it was so hard to watch until Scary Island.
Yeah.
which was horrible, but also wonderful. But usually it's really hard for me to like that show just because I don't like all the neurotic, mean people. But right. This year, they have made it's magically amazing every time.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that OC and New York are hitting a stride right now. Both shows are hilarious and entertaining every episode.
Yeah. Well, this one, most of it is because of the downfall of Sonya. I mean, Sonya will probably be dead soon. Let's face it.
She will be. Here's the thing. Sonya talks so much about having sex with these guys. I'm starting to get convinced that she has sex with none of them.
Oh, really? You think she's one of those?
I think she's all talk. I mean, look, when Kristen went over to her house at one point and Sonya wasn't there yet, and then Sonya walks in, she's like, oh, sorry, I'm doing a walk of shame. I'm like, you did a walk of shame with a microphone pack on? Yeah, right. This was totally set up.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I just figured the producers were outside with mics.
Well, I guess it could have been that too, but I don't think so.
I don't know. I believe her. I mean, Sonya's like that slightly chunky girl in junior high who blew the entire football team to be accepted, but didn't realize that it just made her a stupid fat whore.
That's true.
That's kind of Sonya.
And she really did flash her beaver a lot this episode.
Oh my God, we got a double beaver flash. It was fuzzed out and it still looked like tree bark.
At least she didn't do it at the cancer luncheon, because there's one thing that we've known about Luann all these years. You cannot be lewd when talking about cancer.
Oh my God. Luann had a cancerous stick up her butt this episode, and it was amazing. And how have they not added Luann to the opening credits yet?
I know. Luann is doing much more. Luann is so good this season. I mean, if they're willing to take Aviva off for some certain episodes for not being in them, then just add Luann in.
Agreed. Totally agreed. She deserves it. She's earned it.
Well, so I guess
the big... that during a cancer event? Ugh.
Well, remember season two when Ramona had a conversation with Luann? Luann was doing something at the Cancer Society. Making dinner for cancer patients. And Ramona said something like, well, you know, you married someone. You married an older man. And Luann's like, I can't believe she would say that at the Cancer Society. Not at the Cancer Society. Never at the Cancer Society. And she got so mad at Ramona for talking about this stuff at the Cancer Society, as if cancer patients were suddenly like, they couldn't hear about it. Like, somehow it would, like, ruin their quality of life. But so when all this happened... this episode at a cancer fundraiser and Luann started going crazy, I was like, oh my God, Aviva doesn't know what she's about to uncork with Luann. You do not pass around text messages at a cancer function for the Cancer Society. Not at the Cancer Society, cancer function.
Cancer, oh. So, yes, well, the whole thing at the beginning was Sonya still freaking out from last week, being wasted, insisting she's going to leave. She gets all her bags. She goes outside and she's like, Andy. And unfortunately, it's not Bobblehead sitting there jerking off, watching women fight with each other. It's the driver. It's Luann's limo driver. And she's like, take me back to the city, Andy. And I love that Carol knows Sonya so well already. She's like, we're not following her out because if she doesn't get attention, she'll come right back in.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she came right back in.
And then when she came in, she was like, you know, like, I don't understand. I mean, you know, I came back, you know, I was having a wonderful time and I came back and you guys were all mad at me. I don't understand that. Like, no. Which is like, by the way, the 10th time one of these women on this season has had, like, a crazy delusional moment. Like, when Ramona was like, you know what, Heather? Sometimes you talk too much. And Heather's like, well, I guess maybe I do talk too much. And I was like, I never said that. Or whatever the hell it was. It was something.
That was exactly it.
Yeah.
That was funny. Like,
you know what, Heather? Sometimes you're an asshole, okay? You're just an asshole. Well, okay. Well, you know, if you're going to call me an asshole, I never called you an asshole.
Well, I love that Sonya came in, acted like it was everybody else who was yelling the whole time. Then she eats cheese and farts all over everybody.
Yes.
My God, this show.
And she's like, let's go out to crazy Saratoga and flash our beavers.
I am kind of mad at this show for making us watch more Avery scenes. I do not care. And Avery's like, I've only driven a BMW. This poor person car is so different. It's like, get used to it, because the second your mom and dad divorce, that money's going to be gone, bitch. You're going to have to get a damn job.
You know what? It's good to parallel park. It's good to parallel park.
I hate them. I mean, I don't hate them. I hate that whole storyline.
Yeah. But luckily it's not as excessive.
Go to college, Harvey. Go away.
Luckily it's not as excessive as, who was it last season? Oh, it was what's her face? Gigi, who like took 20 episodes to go.
Yeah, it was both NYU. Him and Gigi, remember?
What am I going to do alone? How am I supposed to do here in the house all by myself? My children are my life. I've been standing at the mailbox trying to meet a man and nobody's putting nothing in my slot.
I've been putting locks on my wall because I love my daughter.
So I feel like there was like just sort of like generic filler. There was
the best thing. There was like this, the gossip episode thing. By far was at Aviva's house. Mm-hmm. Well, during this cancer thing, Aviva starts sending around a text right in the middle of the lady's speech. She's talking about how her mom died of cancer or whatever, and Aviva's like, "Look, it's a twat text from my dad." And the ladies are all laughing openly during this woman's mom dead of cancer speech.
Because ex-Miss USA was at this thing, and Aviva's like, oh my god, I think she had a threesome with my dad, which is not
like
something I would brag about.
A couple
about.
Of days ago. Yeah. She's like, I can't believe she's here. My dad just banged her and Cody at the same time. What is she doing here? This is so crazy. And so Ramona goes right up to her, and she's like, hello, you're Miss America? Okay, so here's what I have to say about America. Are you really from America? What part? Can you spell America? Do you like America? What's the best thing about America? Do you like pie? Now, do you like pie from America?
Now I know why that guy broke up with Sonia, because you know that's exactly how Ramona was questioning his mom. She's like, so, okay, so you went over to George's house, okay? So then what time did you leave? Okay, you left at night, okay? So did you take the subway? Okay, did you take the L train? Okay, did you take the 1 train? All right, did you stop at a hot dog vendor? Okay.
So, when you were on your way to George's house, did you take a car or a subway? Okay, so, I didn't go to George's house. Okay, so, but when you were walking up to George's apartment, okay, did you walk over that vent that made warm air go up into your vagina region? I didn't go to George's apartment. Okay, but when you were at George's apartment, did you take it in your mouth or your butt? Or did Cody stick her finger up you? I'll know, because I'll know from all the cuts, from all of those Swarovski crystals on a feet.
So, did you and George and Cody, did you guys do it in the dining room? Okay, so if not the dining room, then what about, was it the kitchen? Or was it the room with the yellow wallpaper? That's a trick question, because the dining room is in the room with the yellow wallpaper. See, I think about these things, okay? So now, after you left the room with the yellow paper, did your brain explode immediately from all the yellow wallpaper? No? Okay, well now I know you're lying, because no one can get out of that room without wanting to blow their brains out. That's probably, by the way, why everyone gets into a fight at Aviva's house, because yellow is supposed to be the most hostile color, and they go in there and they see that seizure-inducing wallpaper, and they just want to strangle each other.
Yeah, and they're like ink blots, like that stuff that psychiatrists use to tell if you're gay, so they can out you to your parents when you're 14 years old. What are those called?
Rorschach.
I wish Ramona got her own CSI spinoff.
Oh my god.
Okay, so here's what's happening. I found someone dead on the beach, and so I came over here to ask you if you did anything. I saw some blood on his shirt, so tell me what you think about shirts. Do you like collars or V-necks? I just want to see Ramona.
My mother always said you have to start your own crime lab, because you don't want to have a man responsible for your own crime lab if you ever get divorced. You have to have your own crime lab, okay?
So you try and get Mark Hellenberger convicted for every single crime, like, just because she's prettier.
She'd be like,
did someone with red hair do it? Was it a woman? Was it a woman who used to be on a show that was like MASH but worse? Did her name rhyme with fog?
She's like, Ramona, the suspect, they ran into the woods. Well, I'm sorry. I can't go in there. I'm sorry. It reminds me too much of my father. I'm sorry. He'll just have to go. I'm sorry. I'm going back to the Hamptons, okay? Like, it's just too much for me, okay? Like, when I see the woods, when I see a murderer, it reminds me of my father, okay? And that's just very hard for me. I understand that there's someone out there who might be killing other people, but I have memories of woods, and it reminds me of when I grew up, okay?
This victim has a spaghetti mark on her face. I cannot do this case, because I remember one time when my father... He threw a string of spaghetti at my mother's head, and it stuck there. And then they were yelling at each other, and all I could see was the string of spaghetti sticking on my mom's forehead. And I cannot take this case anymore, because I'm traumatized by spaghetti strings on foreheads.
So this body was found in a trash compactor, okay? And the thing is, I can't go near a trash compactor. I just hope you understand. I can't do this because my father would generate trash. He would eat food and then have to throw things out. And he'd throw them in the trash compactor, and it reminds me a lot of my childhood, so I just really can't be around it, okay? I'm sorry. I cannot do it.
Listen, I would love to talk to you about this case in a restaurant, but I can't be in restaurants because you're about to say check, please. And one time I was at a restaurant with my mother and my father and they got in a fight and he asked for the check. And now I'm traumatized by people asking for checks. Can we please talk about this case somewhere outside, just not on the sidewalk? Because one time my mom was walking on the sidewalk and my dad tripped her. And then she fell and she said, you tripped me. And he said, no, I didn't. And then she cried. And now I can't be on sidewalks.
Excuse me, sir. I want to apologize, okay? Because when I accused you of murder, okay, I did not mean to hurt you. It was a knee-jerk response because what was happening was reminding me of my childhood. So when I saw you there and I thought of my father, I thought, this person's a murderer, okay? So I'm sorry, and I got you these flowers, and I really want to apologize from the bottom of my heart.
Okay.
Hey, dead person, I'm sorry.
Dead person, I'm sorry I can't find out who killed you. But one time, I saw this bug on the ground and I was going to keep it for my pet and my dad stepped on it. And now I can't look at bugs anymore without thinking who killed them. And I don't even want to know because it turns out it was my father. Okay?
I really can't go down to the morgue right now, okay? It's just, it's very difficult for me.
Because it rhymes with Marg. And Marg Hellenberger is prettier than me. And I think she's killed everybody on CSI ever. Twist!
Twist! You know,
for the first,
twist!
So for the first 15 years of my marriage, I thought that Mario was, his name was Margio, okay? So when I see Marg Hellenberger, it reminds me of Mario. It reminds me of how he cheated on me, okay? So as you can understand, I just can't deal with him right now, okay?
Oh my God. Poor Ramona.
Poor Ramona. I loved her detective work. So anyway,
Well, I'm glad Ramona did Miss America a huge favor going over and telling her that George is telling the entire world that he banged Miss America.
And Miss America, you can tell she's like, what? She's like, no. Why would Miss America honestly shack up with this pervy old rapey dude and his, like, you know, not so pretty fiance?
So gross.
Listen, I don't doubt that Miss ex Miss USA has been in threesomes, but I don't think they've been with George and Cody.
They have not been with George and Cody. Gross.
So the funny thing is this. So then Aviva has a quote unquote art show that's at her apartment. She basically just wants friends to help her decide what art to go up on what walls. And so everyone shows up all dressed up because they think they're going to a real art show. And so then Luann pulls Aviva aside, and Luann is on a rampage. Luann believes that Aviva has invited Miss USA to this thing. And she's like, well, no one knows who Miss USA is. Aviva's the only one. And so she's like, how dare you? How dare you invite her to this cancer thing? This is a cancer event. How dare you send around the text messages? Who do you think you are? It is just absolutely crass and crude for you to do that. And Aviva's like, Luann, I did not invite her. And I actually believe Aviva because it's so obvious that the producers invited her. I don't know why that didn't occur to Luann at all.
But why would the producers invite her unless she really did have something to do with George? And I don't believe she did.
The producers would invite her if Aviva's telling the producers this and Aviva's going to start something. So I don't think that Aviva actually invited her, but I'm sure Aviva told the producers about the situation. The producers were like, oh, hey, lady, come to this taping. Where Kelly Ben-Simone was, I'd like to add. And I'd also like to add that I called it. When I saw it in the mask, I was like, hi, Kelly Ben-Simone.
Oh, God, Kelly Ben-Simone. She still has nothing to say except some stupid book she's writing about the history of the Hamptons. I'm so sure. Kelly, get the hell out of here.
I know. It's going to be basically like more coherent than an E.E. Cummings poem.
Yeah, she's like, less coherent. It's a mixture of history and anecdotes. Like, this is where the beautiful Hamptons house started. And this is where I first fucked a rich guy who gave me more than $20. It's like, oh, God, let's not mix the two.
It'll be like, one page will be like, close your eyes. And you turn the page. Now open your eyes. Now close your eyes. 50 pages will be her just being close your eyes and open the eyes. You're angry. No, you're sad. You're angry.
Oh, I have to read this. This is from Lance Williams on our Facebook page. He wrote, I follow Luann on Instagram, and she used to have quite a few pictures with Miss USA up from before the luncheon, but now they are all gone except the photo from that day.
Poor thing. Oh, that's hilarious.
Poor Miss America. She's like, you better get me the hell off that website or that Instagram.
Well, I loved how fired up Luann was. And the best was, you know, because her daughter, Aviva, had bought a drawing, or I don't know if it was a painting, but some a piece of art from Luann's daughter. And Luann's acting all horrified by this. And Aviva's like, well, you know, people talk about sex. You know, your daughter includes sex in her art. And Luann's like, how dare you?
How dare you talk about my daughter's sexy art while I'm trying to talk about a cancer event?
Yeah.
Do not talk about sex while I'm talking about a cancer event. That is just tasteless.
Yeah. I love when Luann, when they were talking about this text message and being passed around, and Luann said, like, she's like, if I had seen it, I would have vomited up my salad. And then, of course, Aviva had surprisingly the best line of the night when she's like, since when is Luann the policewoman of ladies' luncheons? I'm like, since forever, bitch.
Yeah, since the beginning of time.
She, like, popped out. Luann popped out and was like, all right, let's do lunch. I don't know. I just made her a lady one in thing. London. I just gave her
a lunch. It's the ladies at lunch. Everybody laugh.
Okay, let's talk about the facialists. And I'm not talking about George. Okay. Get it, guys?
This is
get it,
be,
guys?
I'm not even going to try to do this woman's accent because it'll be totally racist.
You need to get your face done? Okay, come here. I do your face. Oh, your face looks so much better than it did after that time you let that elephant come on you in Africa, huh? I heard the elephant come on your face in Africa, huh?
She truly had, like, the most stereotypically Asian accent that if I were to do it right now, people would just assume I'm just being just crazy, crazy Asian racist because it's so...
Oh, you think you're calling me racist right now?
She said something like... She's like, yo, with Hyun? I was like, oh, she even said, like, she's like, actually? I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm going to have to talk about this in the podcast and I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Why?
Actually? I mean.
I think we're still allowed to make fun of Asians.
Well, in this case, we're making fun of this specific woman.
I love how everything changes so much. You can make fun of whoever you want to, okay? No one's going to judge you. And if they do, just say sorry. Hey, you know what? I just want to announce because you guys, we've been celebrating our listeners today because of 2,500 and everything. One of the running themes of this podcast has been the fact that it's really hard for me to do it at this time because the mailman comes and that's when Bueller starts barking. And I just want to announce that the mailman just came and Bueller just laid there. His ears perked up and he's given up on life, you guys. Bueller
you
is
know how sexual
adult.
That sounds? The mailman came and Bueller just laid there.
Yeah, the mailman came all over my wall, and Bueller just laid there.
Yeah.
So anyway, about that lady who did the facial,
I love that she had the dirt on every single person in that town. She's like, oh yeah, that lady Luann, she likes short French people, because she can be in church in bed. So he's like, church? She's like, not in church. Church? Yeah. No, in charge. She likes to be in charge. She's like, oh, I thought you were saying they like to have sex in church. Oh. It's like even Sonya has to even take a conversation about sex and make it more about sex to convince us that her vagina still works. Shut up, Sonya.
I know. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was such a good episode.
I remember when you had sex with the boyfriend of that lady? Oh, you remember when you had sex with the boyfriend of Carol? Oh, that was funny. The musician boyfriend. Oh, yeah, you totally had sex with him.
It's like she was spilling the gossip on every person. I love it.
But to be fair, she also could have just watched TV. You know, like she wasn't really saying anything that we didn't know, except that Carol's boyfriend slept with Sonya, which I'm not even sure that happened.
And I love Sonya's view of it. She's like, well, he was flirting with me in California. And then they show the clip, and she's like, climbing him like a tree.
Well, I like that he's just basically like, oh, hi, nice to meet you.
I don't believe that.
But he's like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And
Ben, are you still there?
I'm
Benjamin,
here.
Benjamin, are you still on the podcast?
We should probably wrap this up anyway. We've been talking for a long time.
Too long. What the hell? I was having fun.
I was having fun, too. But you know what I also have more fun doing? Participating in my life.
whatever. I don't have one of those. Screw you. You think you're so great with your life?
I have a life.
I do not.
I have to go to the gym.
I might go to Trader Joe's with my friend later. Woohoo! Get out the wishbone!
Hey, Jay-Z, I'm getting an extra bottle of wishbone for tonight, Italian and Thousand Island. Anything goes.
I want to learn guitar, how to play guitar, and I'm looking at a site right now called Fretlight. Isn't that a little similar to Fleshlight? You guys ponder that until next week.
Think about that. So once again, you can follow this podcast on Facebook. It's facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes. We never tell people to do that anymore, but you really should do that. And even leave us a review, a 5-star review. You can listen to us on Stitcher and on SoundCloud. And you can follow Ronnie at Trash Tweet TV on Twitter. And he's at trashtalktv.com, where he does all sorts of funny recaps. And he has a Tumblr, too, with GIFs. And he's on Instagram at Trash Talk TV or Ronnie Karam. I'm B-Side Blog, bsideblog.com. And I'm at B-Side Blog on Twitter and on all those sites, Instagram. So follow me there, too. That'd be fun. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for contributing. And we hope we got to a bunch of comments today. And I guess we'll just talk next week, huh?
You guys, thanks for everything. Okay, guys. Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.